The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Strategies for Financial Survival with Michael Figueroa. When financial adversity hits, and it very well may hit you, it's those that educate themselves and use their skills that will survive, no matter what field you're in. Now, here's your host, Michael Figueroa.
Welcome, everyone, to the last segment of this show. What we're going to do today is generally go over a summary of all the different parts and issues that we talked about over the show over the last 13 weeks or 12 weeks. So I'm going to go through my notes and summarize some of the important points and try to tie this all together into one composite that everyone can understand and it makes sense, because we've covered so many issues over the last couple of months. How do we tie this together? And that, of course, was looking at situations where you have either been laid off, you're tired of the work that you're doing, or other factors have come in and you said, I really need to do something on my own. Either I have to or I want to, and how do I start, and where do I go, and what do I do? And I have rarely found this type of education in school. Most of it's theoretical that deals with if you get appointed to the Federal Reserve Board, M1, M2 policy decisions, whether to do long-term bonds, short-term bonds, are not issues that if you're not involved in the Federal Reserve banking system, it's not going to be useful for you. So we're trying to get a situation where you can use your knowledge today and be able to be out there in the marketplace. So let's go to where we're at. We're thinking about, what do we want to do? And I'm going to, of course, go back to, as originally put, my background is in real estate and law and banking. So my examples are going to be related to that field versus anything else. But you would be able to adapt these principles and ideas to almost any business idea that you may have, whether it be a restaurant, a retail operation, a service operation. All of this would fit the same pattern. So let's look at this. The first thing you want to put together is you want to put together a business plan. What do I want to do? What is the purpose of this new position that I'm looking to do? What am I good at? What can I sustain myself with? Where do I have resources, friends, mentors? And looking at these situations, you would then start to put your business plan together. And in that business plan, I would say, as an example, look for business plans on the internet and try to mimic that. Put that as an outline and then fill in what is relevant for your information. And we go from there. So in this first part of it, one of the issues is I'm looking at my notes here. We're talking about how do you rapidly educate yourself in this area? And I'm going to mention that Coy Vernon, who is my co-host here on this show today. We're going to talk about some of the things that he's gone through where I have taken him on to educate him in the real estate business. And as I remember talking to a CPA friend of mine, he'd say, well, I'm going to give you an education based on similar to drinking water out of a fire hydrant.
Yeah, that's no joke about that.
So one of the issues that I'm looking at is you're going to have to make a budget for yourself. And in this budget, you have to look at what your resources are, what you need, how you're going to obtain it, what reserves do you have? Do you have any reserves at all? This tells a great deal about where you have to go and what you have to do. And I've always found that you have to really love what you do. If you are going to work just for the money and hate it, it's not going to be a successful business for you. You're just not going to have that work well. You have to go to a situation where it's fun, you enjoy it. You may not be making a lot of money initially, but as you become proficient in this line of work, you will then be able to expand that and your income will go up during that time also, but you've got to be able to enjoy it. So where do you get support for and advice? Well, there's always family members, there are friends, there are business associates, there are church and trade group clubs that you may be a member of. You want to assess your character. That's very important to understand who you are and what you're willing to do to make something work. What sacrifices will you make? What type of lifestyle will you adjust in order to make the new business succeed? So you have to give up things that you may enjoy, but it's back to basics.
Yeah, I want to jump in and make a comment about that. And just that is absolutely, absolutely true. Because when you get to the point where you have to choose whether, well, do I go get a job that I know I can make this, or do I stick this little business venture through? And you got to make choice. You're gonna have. I mean, I remember times where I had to kind of go on one or two meals a day, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, kind of like you've always said, you look at it and you pull a Cortez and you burn all of your ships and say, I've got to make this work. There's absolutely no choice. And I think that's something that if you really want to be successful in anything hard and therefore anything worth doing, then that's a character thing that you've got to have in you. The thought of running home just cannot, I think it cannot even be an option for you at all.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is being able to assess this and say, I'm going to make this work at all costs.
And one thing I want to point out too is the ability to not panic. That's one thing that I had to learn, you know, several months back when my income disappeared and I had to completely dive into this new field where, you know, you're teaching me, but I obviously didn't know much at the time, you know, and I'm still learning. And you're in the situation where you've got to learn to control your emotions and not panic, because you don't know where it's going. You got to learn. It's a whole nother level of confidence, you know.
That is, you know, you're bringing up points that I've forgotten, but that are really relevant to this analysis, exactly that. So let's look forward here. So you're working on your business plan and you're assessing what you do well and try to get people to talk to you who are friends or that are able to know your character to really analyze whether the business that you want to do, you would be good in, and try not to be sensitive about their advice. You really want honest advice. It's almost as if you go into a confessional in the Catholic Church and you want that person there, the priest, to tell you the truth and not what you want to hear. So keep that in mind. So in looking at the business plan, we're talking about what's your target market. What product are you going to sell? It could be your services. It could be a widget of some kind. What your competition is going to be. What your clientele is like. Now, do you want a business partner? Do you want an investor? These are really, really critical items. So here, if we're talking about an investor or a business partner, there's a difference. A investor is someone who puts money into your business and they want a return. They want an 8, 9, 15, 20% return on their money. They generally want to be secured. They want to know that they're going to get their money back, but they don't share in your profits. They just get a fixed fee or interest rate for their money. A business partner is one that puts money in, maybe, but maybe also they do work. They are the inside guys who do the books, do the phones, manage the day-to-day affairs. Or they could be the outside guy, the one that brings in the business, markets, meets with customers and clients, is the face of the business. So you want to have a partner on whatever side you're in that fits the situation where you're not both doing the same work. Because if you try to do the same work, you're going to clash.
It just doesn't make any logical sense, too, you know.
That's right. And we've all had situations, whether you've dated somebody on a relationship basis or you're doing a partnership, a business partnership, where you can understand the concept that the business partners must each have their own sphere of influence and not cross over into each other's field, because you will have problems. So in going forward, the next thing we're looking at is what type of entity to form. We covered the idea of general partnerships, corporations, trusts, and limited liability companies.
I want to back up for a second and talk about the importance of not rushing into a partnership, because I think that's a key mistake that you see a lot of young people or people diving into businesses make, is they think, oh, Bill here, he's just my good friend, you know, we'll work out, and then 6 months down the road it doesn't, you know, the friendship's absolutely ruined because of differences in businesses. So you really want to take your time when you form that, because once you're in it, you know, and you plop an asset into that business, that, and there's your, it, you know, it gets, turns into all out war, and that's, you got to be really, really careful.
Oh yes, and I'm in the middle of that, advising a client right now how not to get in a situation like that, and of course, exactly that, these two partners fighting with each other, and I'm the third partner in the group, and I'm basically the mediator on both sides. But that is something, Coy, that you've seen, getting involved in partnerships and having these problems. Go ahead.
Then that's when you've got to really, too, when you form it as your next topic, talking about picking the right entity, you know, you can't dive in there and go to LegalZoom and get a cheap operating agreement, because then there's no buyout provisions. You don't know what to do. What's the company worth, and how do you split that up?
Yes, that is a major part of the war between partners, is how do you get out? again, a big issue is once you get in, actually getting in a business is really easy. It's how do you get out that's the hard part. Whether you sell it successfully, whether you capitalize it with an investor successfully, or whether it becomes a divorce and it gets destroyed in litigation. I'm in a situation where I'm advising a client in that thing right now, and it is it's going to potentially destroy their business, and then they'll have nothing to fight over except the ashes of a burnt down house. So it is something you got to really consider. Looks like we're ready for our first break here, so I'm going to let the break come in, and then we'll be back in a minute.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today.
What are the reasons that over three-quarters of small businesses fail within 3 years? Why do 70% of U.S. women-owned businesses make less than $50,000 a year? What causes mid-sized companies to stagnate? Although today many fundamentals of business remain the same, there are critical current changes that are not being acknowledged, and the result is costly. Tune in to Moving Forward with host Jen Sabin. We'll discuss the core reasons and plans of action to keep your business moving forward. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You may not know all their names, but you certainly know what they did. They helped make this game into what it is today. Now we can do more to help them. The NFL Alumni Association is proud to assist our retired players to help make their lives better today and tomorrow. To learn more, please visit NFLalumni.org.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back, everyone. So we were talking about pick your partner and how to do that. And Coy brought up some good points there. So before we go into our next section here, which is what entity to structure, I want you to remember and think about the whole idea of when you get in the business, how do you get out of a business? And as I pointed out, I've done a couple of advisory roles in businesses that the partners are fighting with each other, and in doing that, they are destroying the business. And the problem, of course, is somebody's decided that they want to have influence in the business that wasn't anticipated originally. And I'll tell you that some of the worst situations are where a series of people get together. We'll say that these partners get together, and the decision to get together and form a business is purely made off of fact that this guy has money to put in. And the person that has the idea doesn't have the money. And inevitably, if it's not managed right, or the contract, the operating agreement is not written properly, there is going to be a fight between the money guy who wants to make sure that it goes his way and the operator who I invented this, or I had the idea, this is what will make it work and what will not work. So I would say it is so critical that before you jump in, that whoever you go in with as a partner, you really, really date that person. And date that person to me means that what you're doing is you're saying, who are you? What do you like to do? Are you somebody that has to be involved very technically with me in every decision? Are you a delegator? Are you someone that doesn't trust or you trust? Do you have certain ideas that you must impose or not? These are all really critical areas that you have to do. And I would say, like I say to my business associates, could just consider this. If you're going to date somebody or think about getting married to somebody, what do you want to make sure that this person has, and what do they not have? You got to look at it that way very, very carefully. So in light of that, going in entity formations, my general idea is a limited liability company is where you always want to go. Well, I don't know if I can say always, but that's the preferred way to go. Mostly because it's not a taxable entity, so it doesn't pay taxes, but it also has the ability to be protected. The members' interest can be protected from outside creditors better than almost any other form, through the concept of charging orders, which we talked about in one of the prior shows.
And when you say members protected, you're talking about you're talking more management rights.
Well, what I'm saying is that if one of the partners gets sued and something happens, that partner with his problem doesn't impact the business with the other partners. So those outside creditors would not have an ability to seize assets in the company itself and cause a disruption. That is one of the main reasons I like a limited liability company. Now, another thing that is really good to utilize in this whole operation plan is the use of retirement plans. Now, we didn't get to go into too much detail in any of our other shows about this, but consider this. You form a corporation or a limited liability company, and you attach to it a retirement plan. What I like are 401k, profit sharing, self-directed plans. And in this situation, what you have is a plan that's approved by the IRS. We usually use one of our attorneys here in Tucson that puts that plan together. And you, as the owner, are the trustee of the plan. You are also, as an employee of the company, a participant in the plan. So you have the ability to sign checks and make investments in proper investment vehicles in your own right without having to have anyone sign off for you. Most directed IRAs, as an example, in fact, all of them, I believe, require what's called a custodian, and that custodian is usually a bank or a brokerage house or another company that has to sign off and move money from your account to an investment vehicle. And so you're blocked. You have to wait until they're ready. Some of them are really quick. Some of them are not. With a 401k and a profit sharing plan arrangement, you write the checks yourself. Now, it's really important that you understand that a pension plan is not your personal checking account. And what that means is you've got to look at it in the way that any money that's put into the plan, and I'll go over what you can and can't do there, is separate from you. You can't just take money out and do what you want with it. Otherwise, you'll incur taxes and penalties for doing that. So let me give you some more detail on this. First of all, understand that a retirement plan, if it's a qualified plan, is a asset protection vehicle. No creditor of your, no creditor involved in your life can access your plan's money. No judgment can penetrate into the plan's assets. Further, if you were to file bankruptcy, the bankruptcy trustee cannot access the plan's money either. And the only party that has the ability to access plan assets is the IRS. So what else do we have? We have the participation rule. How much can you put in a plan? Well, first of all, understand you can roll over your IRA money into one of these plans. You can roll over money from other plans into this plan. There are many, many technical rules that apply in this area. So I want you to understand very clearly that what I'm giving you is overall advice. The technicalities are quite numerous. You can put up to 25% of your compensation in your plan, and that money comes out of the entity, the corporation or DLC. So when the corporation or DLC writes a check to the plan, it is a tax-deductible expense to the corporation or DLC. And 25% of the compensation not to exceed, and I believe in 2012 it was $54,000, and it's indexed each year. So this year, 2013, it will be a different number. And the maximum time that you can have your money in the plan before you have to take it out is when you're 70 and a half. But you can start to draw money out when you're 59 and a half. A plan allows for you to have a personal loan of up to $50,000 at what's called the applicable federal rate. So you have to pay this back over a 60-month period, no less than quarterly. So if you look at a five-year treasury bill, whatever the interest rate is, that's the minimum rate that you have to pay the plan when you make the payment. I always like to stick with the prime rate, which is 3.5%, I believe, today. It might be a quarter. The other thing is transactions. You have prohibited transactions, and that is you cannot invest plan money in your owned property. So if you own a property, an automobile, or stocks, promissory notes in your name now, you cannot have the plan buy those assets from you. The plan has to go out and buy the asset from the third party. It cannot do business with you. And this is a general rule. There are certain exceptions that I'm not going to get into here. The plan cannot invest in in artwork, collectibles, or items that are excluded based on the list that your attorney that deals in this would tell you. But generally, collectibles and art is the main ones. What can it invest in? Well, it can invest in stocks, bonds, CDs, real estate, except your personal residence, other LLCs, other corporations, as long as those entities are businesses that the plan is a partner in. So let me explain that. A plan can make a loan to a restaurant that the owner does not control, but it cannot become a partner in the restaurant, because then the plan's income would be taxable at much higher rates, at trust rates. So you don't want the plan to be an investor in an operating business. What else can be done? What I like to do is this. For you form an LLC that is owned by the pension plan. Your pension plan lends money to the LLC. The LLC buys rental property. The LLC that takes the plan money to buy the rental property then gives a mortgage on the rental property in favor of the pension plan. And this way, if something happens on the property, let's say some kids are playing and they fall off the roof, or the dog bites somebody on the property, or there's a roof leak and somebody's papers are damaged or their artwork is damaged. All of these issues that are situations where you can have a liability between the owner and the claimant can come up, would be now the house would be protected. And it looks like we have to go to another break here. So let me come back after that break.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today. Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kirk Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life. Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Okay, so we were talking about this structure using the plan as an investor. So when a person sues the LLC, which is the owner of the rental property, the liability hits the LLC and not the pension plan. So what could then happen is a party gets a judgment against the LLC for whatever their claim is. Let's say they got a $5,000 judgment because they got bit by the dog or so, whatever happened. The pension plan can foreclose the mortgage against the house and take the property back and basically extinguish the judgment lien on the property. And you want to make sure always that you're keeping the pension plan itself that has all the cash away from liability. So you don't ever want your pension plan directly investing in any asset that there is risk. You want the plan to lend money. It can receive income from rentals, interest from the capital gain from the sale of an asset, but you do not want it to be in a situation where it is at risk with its assets because it owns a bar of all things, which is not allowed to anyway, and somebody gets shot in the bar and your pension plan's wiped out. So I'm going to go off the pension plans, but I want you to understand that that is a very, very excellent tax sheltering vehicle, asset protection device, if it's used and managed properly. So now we go to let's see here, raising capital. So in my world, buying and selling properties is what I do. And so raising capital, what I have to do is I have to have my business plan. And my business plan may be such that a part of it is related only to this particular property I'm dealing on. So I want to show that if I could buy this house for $70,000, put in $20,000, manage it right, sell it for $170,000, that the investor who puts up the money is going to be in a safe position, and that investor is going to obtain a yield on their money that is commensurate with the risk. And that goes anywhere from, 8% to, I've seen as high as 18%. I'll tell you that most people that are really reputable in the business would never pay 18%. That's unsustainable. But the general rule in Arizona is between 8 to 12% on yield. And the loan to value ratio is generally not greater than 70%. And the payments are usually monthly interest only for 1 year or 2 years. And the renovator then renovates the property, fixes it up, and then sells it. And then the investor's mortgage, which is preferably a first mortgage, is paid off, and then it goes to the next one. So you keep rolling this through. Now, if you're going to do this type of business, you need to put a team together. And we talked about the team being who's your contractor, renovator, who's going to be your realtor, broker, do you have a lawyer, who's your CPA. I usually put together a board of advisors in my entities that are people that bring in business. So that all works. Looks like we're coming to the end here. So Coy, do you have anything you want to mention lastly from your experience and what we've done?
Nothing off the top of my head, Mike. Nothing off the top of my head.
Well, I'll roll along here until Roland tells me that we're out of time. I'm watching the monitor. So remember, an investor partner you want to bring in, you want to make sure that you look at them in the same manner that you are an investor looking at somebody else. If you swap sides and look at each other, position, you'll get a good feel for you have a good feel for how the investor is going to think about the transaction. Always remember, you got to focus on, once you're in, how do you get out, and that the investor is secured.
You know, one thing I do want to mention, Mike, is I think a lot of people don't and I think a lot of people aren't trained to think like this, but the taking charge. When you go out, when you got to go out and bid the property, go out and find the property. I think you grow up in our school system, whatever, and the world of being an employee, and people aren't trained to take charge. They're trained to wait for direction. So you got to, you know, don't wait for your contractor to show up and bid the property, or don't wait for someone to give you instructions. You got to kick the ball down the hill and make it happen yourself. Because I think a lot of failures happen because people don't really know what it means to take charge in these situations, like going out and calling the real estate agent to find the properties, driving the streets to find vacants, you know.
Yes.
I think that's a very – and in fact, I know nothing. You might as well not even try to get in any business if you don't understand what it means to take charge.
I'm thinking about that when you said most people wait for direction, and that's true. If you're on your own business trying to make a living, you cannot wait for somebody to give you instructions and orders. You've got to take charge and do what you have to do. A very, very good point there.
Yeah, because nobody, and it's not that anybody has bad intentions to hurt you or whatever. That's not the case. It's just nobody has your best interest in mind like you, and especially in any business, you've got to look after yourself and take the bull by the horns and make it happen. You know. So let me. I want to make another point too. Aside from the ability to take charge in things, is not accepting no as you can't always accept no as an answer. You know, and it doesn't always mean no. And what I mean by this is, I'm going to tell a quick story about how I got my contractor's license, and I'm a commercial and residential contractor. How I got that, I was originally rejected because I was a 22-year-old. And how does a 22-year-old have the required experience? But you could go online and you could see where they had rejected and told me, no, you can't do this. But I argued and argued with the guy until I got it, and now I'm approved. And I think it's the same thing with the housing stuff I'm finding with you, is you get you make an offer and it gets rejected, and then you resubmit, you try, you go again, you know. And then eventually you wear it down. And so don't take – just because somebody says no, don't let that break you and deter you from continuing in, you know, your efforts, you know.
And that's a very important – you hear that all the time, how many people have tried to make something work and they were turned down over and over and over. And when I first was looking to raise a significant amount of money – for my real estate development business, I kept getting turned down by a couple of my key investors because it didn't have a good exit strategy built in. And I had to go back and polish that diamond over and over until finally they said, this makes sense, and it worked. So that's an important factor. Very, very good. We're coming up to the close. And so this doesn't look like there's going to be any way that I'm going to be able to wrap up everything. But I think what I'll do at this point is point out that keep looking for situations where you get self-help. Go to seminars. Go to group meetings. Go to if you're in a church group, go to those. This is where you make contacts. In my world, these contacts then allow me to find a property lead or an investor that's, I'm interested in putting – I got $50,000 I can put in as in that transaction. And you just got to keep mining, and it comes together piece by piece. And if you do proper tax planning – which is really critical, and you are out there hunting constantly, you will make a successful business, and you'll be a happy camper, presumably, because you'll be free. You'll have your ability to go travel, take off for the day, do what you want to do once you have things going without somebody that's looking at you and saying, well, what do you mean you want to go home a half an hour earlier? You're fired. Or having the risk of having somebody always in control over your life. But you have to put your effort and time in to make this happen. So again, go back and listen to a series of these shows that have put in archive and utilize them, study them, and study other people that have done the similar work. And of course, you're welcome to communicate with me. My name again is Mike Figueroa, and you can reach me at my email, mfigueroaresolutioncapitalstrategies. And Coy, could you give our intuitive strategies webpage information?
Yeah, you can go to Intuitive Startup. We're going to be putting a lot of the content that Mike has taught about on this show on there as well. And you can email Mike through that as well at mike@intuitivestartup.com.
Very good. So until we have our next show series, I say au revoir, sayonara, avida zane. And Ben, thanks for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Strategies for Financial Survival. Please join host Michael Figueroa again next Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Until the next show, survive and succeed.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today.